Welcome to Shiur and Sfarno Parshas Balak. The Shiur this evening is sponsored both by Aaron Goldman and independently by Robert Goldman, marking the yard site of their grandfather and father, respectively, Shimon ben Dov Ber. The Shabbos should have an aliyah, should see much nachas ruach, and the Torah mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim that the family is involved in. We spoke earlier in the week about the first part of Parshas Balak, that describes the hiring of Bilam, the miracle with the piha asan, with the mouth of the donkey. When we get to the second half of Parshas Balak, that actually describes the brachos, the blessings that against Bilam's will come tumbling out of his mouth. So that's where the interpretation of the psukim just becomes more complicated. The brachos are obviously in a very poetic form, and it's a little bit difficult to understand them. What I wanted to take a look at tonight is some of those passages from the brachos of Bilam, and the way the Sfarno understands them in a somewhat unique fashion. So, looking in Parachof Gimel, Pasuk Chof Beis, we find the following three psukim. These are all uttered by Bilam. Kel motziam mimitzrayim, Hashem took the Jewish people out of Egypt, kisoafos re'em lo, like the horns of the mighty re'em. Re'em is some kind of very big, very powerful animal. Again, exactly what it is, we may not know, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu took them out of Mitzrayim, with the, like the horns of a re'em. The pasuk continues, Kilo nachash bi Yaakov, there is no sorcery in Yaakov, lo kesem bi Yisrael, there's no divination in Yaakov, there's no sorcery in Yisrael. Ko'es, at this time, ye'omer li Yaakov li Yisrael ma po'al kel. At this time it will be said to Yaakov and to Yisrael, what has Hashem done? Hen om kilovi yakum, it is a nation that rises up like a young lion, and it raises itself, and it's powerful like a lion. Lo yishkav ad yochal teref, it doesn't lie down until it consumes its prey, v'dam chalolim yishte, and it drinks the blood of its victims. It's not clear exactly what all these psukim mean, and what the flow of ideas is from one pasuk to the next. So the Sfarno presents the following very beautiful interpretation of these psukim and their connectiveness. So first, he describes how the first pasuk Chof Beis, describes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, kisoafos re'em lo, with the might of the re'em, like the might of the re'em. What's the analogy between Klal Yisrael and the re'em specifically? So here, the Sfarno invokes an idea which we've seen before in the Sfarno. The Sfarno invoked this idea at the very beginning of Sefer Bamidbar. And again, time and time again, he's come back to this idea. And here too, he finds a source in the Pasuk for this idea. Kodesh Baruch Hu took La'am Yisrael. He took Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim like a Re'em. She'eno Tore for Ochel Ka'ari. The re'em is not an animal like the lion that rips apart its prey and eats it. Aval docha bekarnov kemo ha-re'em. The re'em has large horns, and when it encounters something which is, you know, in its way, so to speak, so instead of ripping it to pieces and destroying it, the re'em simply pushes it out of the way. Again, I'm not sure whether the re'em is supposed to be a herbivore. You know, maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't eat other animals. So he's a vegan. You know, the re'em. I don't know, but you know, its way of dealing with a problem or a problematic thing in its path is to push it out of its way with its horns. So that's the way Klal Yisrael was originally supposed to be set up when they left Mitzrayim. Ki hoisa akavana. Lagare Shaumos Lahnis is Israel Oretz Bilti Harigas Soumos. The original intent of the Ribbono Shel Olam when he took Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim was to give them Eretz Yisrael without having to wage war, without having to kill any of the inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu's plan was simply to have Klal Yisrael march into Eretz Yisrael and push the nations out. That's an idea, again, we've seen this idea before in the Sfarno. The Sfarno says, we know from Chazal that the Girgashi, one of the seven nations, fled Eretz Yisrael. The original plan was that all seven of the nations would have fled Eretz Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael would have gone in like the Re'eim and just pushed them out with their horns. Ke'omro, and the Pasuk indeed in Tehillim indicates this, Perek Pei, Pasuk Tes, Tegaresh Goyim Vatito'eho, you will drive out the nations, the inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael, and plant Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. And here says the Sfarno, an amazing thing, but we've seen so many indications of this already in the Sfarno that this doesn't surprise us. Kilo chafetz b'mos hameis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all things being equal, doesn't want people to die. Even the seven nations who inhabit Eretz Yisrael, who are described multiple times in Chumash as being really wicked and really terrible, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would rather not kill them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would rather just that they pick up and leave Eretz Yisrael. That would have been the ideal way of dealing with those inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael. Kel Hotzio Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Kisawafos Re'eim Lo. They were originally supposed to act like the Re'eim. That would simply be a bulldozer. They just, you know, push the nations out of Eretz Yisrael and they'd go do their thing somewhere else.
Is it possible that whether or not guilty of the death penalty, and now they would ultimately get killed by Shem, but maybe could it also mean that Klal Yisrael shouldn't have to be executioned?
Okay, yeah, that too. In other words, you know, why should Klal Yisrael have to kill them? Why should they have to die? Right? Enochinami, both things, right? So we find, says the Sfarno, this idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have preferred, all things being equal, to keep the seven nations who inhabited Eretz Yisrael alive. V'chein Amru Chazal. As Chazal say, Shalosh Igros Sholach Yehoshua. Indeed, when Yehoshua came into Eretz Yisrael, so he sent three different options, you know, in letters to the inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael. Harotza Liponos Yipane. If you'd like to leave, feel free. Lahashlim Yashlim. If you'd like to make peace with us and be subjugated by us, feel free to do that too. Lasos milchomo yaseh, and if you like to wage war against us, feel free to do that too. Just it's not going to end so well, but you know we're giving you all three options. Avolheim hikshu arpam lehilachem. It was the choice of the inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael to be stubborn and to fight against the Jews. V'hutzrichu lachrimam, and Klal Yisrael were essentially forced to destroy them. But really, you know, the ideal would have been, had they made peace, you know, from the get-go, right? I should point out that this idea that the Sfarno is saying that all things being equal, the ideal would have been to make peace with the inhabitants of Eretz, with the Knan and the Shiva Amimim, gets involved in a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban and Rashi and Tosus and Maseches Sota. It's true that Chazal say that when Yehoshua was about to enter into Eretz Yisrael, he gave the inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael the option of running away or making peace. What happened when Yehoshua crossed over the Yarden? So that's a machlokas Rishonim. Some Rishonim hold that at that point already, you know, the nations, the inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael lost the opportunity to make peace. It was an offer that was only on the table until Yehoshua actually until he actually crossed over the Yarden. Once he crossed over the Yarden, all bets were off. The Sfarno doesn't say this straight out, so it's not clear that he's taking a position in this machlokas, but certainly the emphasis of the Sfarno on it would be wonderful if, you know, no blood had to be shed. It would be wonderful if everyone would just leave or make peace or whatnot, gives you the impression that, you know, that he holds like that position that says that even once Yehoshua entered into Eretz Yisrael, there was still an option for the nations to be mashlim, to make peace with Yehoshua and the Jewish people. So in any case, coming back to the pasuk, uvechein lo yishtamshu bohem klal kama shem yishtamish ha'aryeh b'tarpa. So the original intent was that unlike the lion that rips apart, klal yisrael would be like the re'em. B'mashahu docha o kovesh lo yochlenu klal. He just pushes the enemy out of the way without actually destroying them. So that's this pasuk. What's the next pasuk? Ki lo nachash b'yakov lo kesem b'yisrael. There's no divination amongst Yaakov. There's no sorcery amongst Yisrael. What's that got to do with anything? First of all, what does it mean? What does it got to do with anything? So the Sfarno says this is connected to the previous pasuk. Vatam shehotzio mimitzrayim megarish goyim b'shvil Yisrael v'nosing l'Yisrael to'afos re'em. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give Klal Yisrael this ability to conquer Eretz Yisrael? And again, in the original plan to conquer Eretz Yisrael without firing a shot, you know, this incredible ability to just come into Eretz Yisrael and push the seven nations out of Eretz Yisrael, why are the Jews zoche? Why do they merit such a thing? Hu kihem dar darshav. They are a people that seeks out HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly. V'lo yidrushu anachash. They're a people who don't engage in divination. And that's a fundamental difference between the Jews and the inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael prior to the Jews coming in. And that's a pasuk in Chumash, he says later on, in Devarim Perek Yud Ches, Ki agoyim ha'ele, the pasuk says, these nations who inhabit Eretz Yisrael, el me'oninim v'al kosmim yishma'u, they listen to people who engage in divination, to sorcerers and the like, v'ato lochein, not you, you, Klal Yisrael, bypass divination and sorcery. You know, you're not out there using Ouija boards and all this kind of stuff. You just go to the Ribbono Shel Olam directly, and you seek HaKadosh Baruch Hu's guidance in everything you do. You totally stay away from this idea of divination. So, says the Sfarno, what that pasuk in Devarim is telling us is that the distinction between Klal Yisrael and the other nations, namely, that Klal Yisrael rejects divination and sorcery, and that the other nations embrace divination and sorcery, is not just a little detail between distinguishing Klal Yisrael from the nations of the world. That itself, I mean, maybe in conjunction with other factors, but certainly is a major factor as to why Klal Yisrael were zoche to receive Eretz Yisrael, and why these other nations were driven out of Eretz Yisrael. Not a little thing to, you know, adhere to the prohibition against divination and sorcery. That adherence to that mitzvah is the very reason that Klal Yisrael was zochet Eretz Yisrael. That's a rather striking statement. I mean, again, you know, clearly there's a prohibition in the Torah against divination and sorcery, but there are prohibitions that would seem to be much more fundamental and essential than that prohibition. I mean, I thought a Zara comes to mind. You know, if you would ask me, I would say, why are the nations being driven out and Klal Yisrael being allowed to come into Eretz Yisrael? Because, you know, the nations embraced Avodah Zarah and Klal Yisrael rejected Avodah Zarah, you know, or something along those lines. Why Davka divination and sorcery? Why Nichush of all things? So perhaps, again, this is my own, so again, take it for what it's worth. But, you know, perhaps one can suggest that the reason the Sfarno focuses on this is the following idea. The psukim stress that Eretz Yisrael is different from all of the other countries in the world. Eretz asher inei Hashem Elokecha bo mereshis hashana v'yerachris shana. Right? Eretz Yisrael is a land that's under HaKadosh Baruch Hu's direct hashkacha. And that's emphasized by the Chumash later on in Sefer Dvarim. You know, the land that you're coming into is not like Mitzrayim, where it was always irrigated by the Nile River. The land you're coming into in Eretz Yisrael is dependent upon rain, and because it's dependent upon rain, you feel very, very directly HaKadosh Baruch Hu's providence in Eretz Yisrael. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happy with you, he sends rain, and when he's unhappy with you, he withholds rain. So having that closeness in a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not just essential generally, but it's a special aspect of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael captures that very direct relationship between the Ribbono Shel Olam and Klal Yisrael. And if that's the case, a nation that engages in divination, which is essentially a way of trying to bypass the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to use a back door to figure out what's going to be, well, how should I conduct myself, what should I do, such a nation can't have Eretz Yisrael, because they'll miss out. They won't be able to appreciate, they won't be able to tap into that special hashkacha, that special providence, which characterizes the nature of Eretz Yisrael itself. So even though nichush, you know, divination may not be a prohibition, you know, of the same caliber of Avodah Zarah or Shvichas Damim or Gilui Arayos or all these other things, but nonetheless, it has a particular connection to Eretz Yisrael because of the unique hashkacha that's associated with Eretz Yisrael. So, in other words, just going back to the pasuk, why was Klal Yisrael Zoche to be able to come into Eretz Yisrael and take it over without firing a shot? Kilo nachash b'Yakov, lo kesem b'Yisrael. Because there is no divination, no sorcery, that's what gave the Klal Yisrael the ticket to be able to inherit Eretz Yisrael. What's the end of the pasuk? Ko'es ye'yomer li'Yakov li'Yisrael ma'po'al keil. At the time, it will be said to Yaakov and Yisrael, what has Hashem done? What do those words mean? Right? I mean, before we try to figure out how that fits into the context, just how do you translate that? So the Sfarno says that the end of the pasuk, not surprisingly, is building on the beginning of the pasuk. Ka'es means at the time, es shehim rotzim lodas asidos. When at the time that Klal Yisrael wants to know what's going to be in the future, they don't turn to divination and sorcery. Yeyomer liYaakov liYisrael ma'po'al keil. It will be said to Yaakov and to Yisrael what Hashem is doing. That is to say, says the Sfarno, Yeyomer lohem b'nevuah. When it says it will be said to them, it means that they will be zocha to nevuah, to prophecy. O al yedei eze navi, magozer akel yisparach. Or a navi, a prophet, will come to them and say what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has said that should take place under, you know, these circumstances. So Ka'es Ye'omer Li'akov Li'Yisrael Ma'po'al Keil means, as opposed to divination, when Klal Yisrael needs to know what Hashem wants from them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will communicate that to them through a Navi. So they don't need divination, they don't need sorcery, they have, if not quite a direct line with the Ribbono Shel Olam, but a pretty direct line with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a direct line through the institution of the Navi, where the Navi is able to convey to the people what Hashem has said.
Bilam is saying all these things and he knows all this. Why is he doing all this?
Yeah, I think it goes back to what we said the other day. At this point, he's a puppet. He's a mannequin. Yeah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, you know, sitting Bilam on his lap, and he's just, you know, moving the mouth up and down, and that's about the extent of it.
No, I mean, I think maybe he means that, why is he such a rusher when he knows all this?
Yes, right. So I guess, you know, you could, there's certain people who can see the truth and they just stick with their rishos, you know. I mean, it's an unfortunate phenomena, but it's a phenomena. I think this interpretation of the Sfarno works in well with something that Chazal tell us, that nevuah is something that only takes place in Eretz Yisrael. In fact, the Gemara asks, we find examples of Nevi'im that prophesized outside of Eretz Yisrael. Yechezkel HaNavi, for instance, all of Yechezkel's Nevuos take place outside of Eretz Yisrael in Bavel. So Chazal say that, you know, he started his career as a Navi in Eretz Yisrael, so there was a kind of a grandfather clause, right? In other words, once you start, you have to start in Eretz Yisrael, so okay, then once you're primed for Nevuah, you can even do Nevuah outside of Eretz Yisrael. So why is that? Why is Nevuah uniquely connected to Eretz Yisrael? So again, you might say just very simply, look, Nevuah is a very high level of spirituality. You need a place like Eretz Yisrael to be able to reach that very high level of spirituality. That certainly is a valid explanation. But according to the Sfarno, maybe it all goes back to this idea of Eretz Yisrael having special hashgacha. Eretz Yisrael is a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a unique and direct connection to Eretz Yisrael. And because of that, Klal Yisrael merit Eretz Yisrael by their rejection of sorcery. And as part of the same idea, Klal Yisrael's connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Nevuah is also uniquely connected to Eretz Yisrael. Nevuah is a way of Hashem relating to Klal Yisrael directly without any, you know, side communications or anything like that, without any divination, without any sorcery. And that has a unique connection idea, again, to the idea of Eretz Yisrael and its being a place of special hashkach, of special providence, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu connects to Klal Yisrael. So that's that second pasuk, right? So Klal Yisrael is zochet to go into Eretz Yisrael and originally to push out the nations. Why? Because they set aside sorcery and instead they have nevuah, which enables them to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then we have this last pasuk in this triplet, so to speak. Hen om kilovi yakum v'chari yisnaso. This is a nation that rises up like a young lion and raises itself like a lion. Lo yishkav al yochal teref adam chalolim yishta. It does not lie down until it consumes its prey and it drinks the blood of its victims. Now, the simple pshat in this pasuk is that this is a very strong nation that's able to overcome its enemies. But in light of what the Sfarno said a few moments ago, the pasuk becomes a little bit difficult. Because the Sfarno said, the pasuk before, Kesoaf Osra'im, is emphasizing that Klal Yisrael were supposed to come in, they were supposed to come into Eretz Yisrael and just, like a bulldozer, just push the enemies out of the way. And here, the pasuk, here the pasuk is basically describing Klal Yisrael not pushing their enemies out of the way, but destroying their enemies, ripping them apart, drinking their blood. So very good. So says the Sfarno. That's the flow of the psukim. Kilavi yakum, right? They rise up like a young lion. Lehilachem imishlo nilcham bom klal, right? They can fight against even someone who's not fighting against them, right? That's yakum. They rise up on their own. Ad yochal teref, right? They consume the prey. Yochlu v'yivaru osan ha'umo shehem me'achshav teref l'shinehem. Right? The word me'achshav is very striking over there. From now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed the plan. Right? That's what the Sfarno had written in the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, right? Like David said a moment ago. Originally the plan was, Kel motziyom in Mitzrayim. When Hashem took Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, they would just walk into Eretz Yisrael and push away the nations that inhabited Eretz Yisrael. But now the plan changed, right? Either because, as the Sfarno wrote in the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, the nations got that much worse over the course of 40 years that the Jewish people were wandering in the desert, or as he seems to indicate over here, the nations rejected the opportunity to run away from Eretz Yisrael. They said, we're going to stay and fight. They were stubborn. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, so plan B. So now Klal Yisrael will rise up to fight like a lion. You're not just going to push them out. You're going to actually destroy them. You'll rip them apart. You'll drink their blood. And that's lemaisa in practical terms. That's what's actually going to happen, even though HaKadosh Baruch really would have preferred had the nations just run away and the Jewish people would not be forced, to fight this war. But the psukim are describing the progression from the plan A to the plan B, and these three psukim flow together very naturally in describing what's going to be in Eretz Yisrael when the Jewish people come in there. Are we holding? All right, let's maybe start a little bit the next piece, and Be'ez Hashem will have the opportunity to continue this tomorrow. Right after this series of brachos, so Balak is obviously upset. Balak says to Bilam, "L'chana ekachacha el makom acher. Let me bring you to a different place. Ulai yishar be'neho elokim v'kavosu l'mishom. So maybe in a different place, looking down from a different vantage point, allow yourself. Maybe you'll be able to curse them from there. I don't understand. Question of the view, right? If Bilam goes somewhere else, he's going to look from a different vantage point. Now he'll be able to do it. That's what it's all about. Obviously, this is like what the Baruch is saying. You're not able to curse them all together. So the Sfarno suggests, there's something about looking at the objects of your klala that you see. Svarno said this before, you see this clearly in the Pesukim. Why doesn't Bilam just curse the Jewish people sitting in his lawn chair? Because obviously there's something about looking at the object of the people that you're trying to curse, which is significant. So Balak says to Bilam, where I took you originally, maybe you happened to be looking into the better parts of Klal Yisrael. You know, you had a vantage point, you're looking down, you're seeing the yeshivas, you're seeing the Bate Medrash. Let me take you around, you can take a look at the seedy neighborhood on the other side of the Machane Yisrael. You'll see the Jews who maybe are a little bit more deserving of a Klala, and maybe that will work. You know, maybe having a different vantage point, you see a different group of Jewish people, maybe that will work, and obviously we see that that wasn't the case. We like to think that the reason it wasn't the case is because there was no such seedy neighborhood, and Baruch Hashem, Klal Yisrael was really on a high madrega. You know, no matter which part of Klal Yisrael you were looking at that particular time. We'll continue with more explanation of Baruch Hashem, Tamar, Chanan, Ben Akasha, Omer, Ratzah.